The World in Words is made possible in part by a major grant from the National Endowment for the Humanities, exploring the human endeavor.
Soundworks.
Soundworks.
From PRI.
I'm Patrick Cox, and you may not know what the word mondegreen means, but you probably have a mondegreen running in your head right now, or we're going to make one run in your head right now. I'm here with Alina Simone, friend of the pod.
Hello.
Alina, tell us what a mondegreen is.
Well, I think it's best in this case to simply use an example.
Okay.
So my friend Chris Berry, I crowdsourced this, full disclosure. My friend Chris Berry wrote me on Facebook that his aunt used to sing the Cuban song Guantanamera as one ton tomato, I ate a one ton tomato.
So what it is you're hearing something that wasn't originally written, but it makes more sense to you as one ton tomato or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And that then sticks in your head, right? I mean, the next time I hear Guantanamera, I can guarantee that I'm going to hear one ton tomato.
I think it becomes a real earworm because it's personal now and there's a story behind it. So even once you learn the correct lyrics, I bet you're way more likely to remember that song.
Right. And I can't think of anything that of a foreign language song that I turned into a bunch of English words that I understood. But I can remember back in the days of New Wave, I was learning French at school, and there was a friend of mine who wasn't learning French at school, and we used to play him this song because he didn't understand the words. It was that, do you remember that song, Sa Plan Pour Moi by Plastique Bertrand?
Sa Plan Pour Moi, Sa Plan Pour Moi, Sa Plan Pour Moi, Moi.
Sa plan pour moi means that's okay with me, that's fine by me. But because he didn't understand French, he had no idea what this meant. And so we just made him try to figure out what it was. Now he kept the moi. He knew that moi meant me. But he thought that this guy sounded a bit down. So for sa, he turned it into sad. And plan was plan, sad plan, poor me. Sad plan, poor me. He thought he made up some whole thing about it being about not getting a girl or something like that. And so then that became what the song started meaning to the rest of us.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that my friend Chris's aunt, she's imagining some gardener in a little village putting a lot of fertilizer on his tomato plant, and then it grows into this one-ton tomato, and it wins the award at the fair, and his whole life turns around, you know? Soon he's got his own supermarket, or I don't know, he's on the news. Like, yeah, you create your own backstory to these songs, and I think they become, in many cases, way more interesting than the original. And sometimes they take on meanings like that directly contradict the original. Like on this website, kissthisguy.com, this is just an American example, but the song Like a Virgin by Madonna, there were people who misinterpreted Like a Virgin Touched for the Very First Time as Like a Virgin Touched for the 31st Time.
But that doesn't even make sense.
I know, but it's funny. You picture this virgin touched for the 31st time.
Right, and if anybody's going to sing about that, it makes kind of sense that Madonna would be the singer.
Maybe she was that virgin. Right. It's autobiographical.
Okay, well, you got one more, right?
Well, this is a pretty common one that maybe Bob Marley was secretly born in Berlin because many people misinterpreted the lyrics to his song Jammin' as German, we're German, we hope you like Germans too.
That's great.
Germans are lovable. Why would anyone need
Germans? So they would add the S rather than just be about the language. We hope you like German too.
The version I saw was we hope you like Germans too, but maybe it's a pro-language piece, Patrick. Maybe it's a defense of the German language.
Well, you have been looking into mondegreens and what's becoming of them in the digital age. So let's give a listen to your story.
The word mondegreen was coined by the writer Sylvia Wright in an essay where she described mishearing a bit from the Scottish ballad The Bonnie Earl of Moray. The actual line was, "They ha' slain the Earl o' Moray and laid him on the green."
Yeah, hey, slain the Earl o' Moray and laid him on the green.
But she heard, "They ha' slain the Earl o' Moray and Lady Mondegreen."
Lady Mondegreen.
It turns out there are scientific reasons why it is so easy to misinterpret songs and poems in particular.
This comes about because when we understand what someone says, it's always at least partly a hallucination.
According to Mark Lieberman, a linguist at University of Pennsylvania, extracting meaning from sound depends on a combination of hearing and hoping.
There's a piece of what we understand that comes from the sound that comes in our ear, and there's a piece of what we understand that comes from the expectations in our brain.
And when that piece of sound contains weird metaphors or jarring imagery, or is just plain hard to hear, then people tend to translate it into something that makes more sense to them. Their expectations, in other words, take over.
And, of course, songs tend to have lyrics that are a little bit unexpected or unusual. It's what makes songs interesting.
It's also what makes Mondegreens more interesting, or at least way funnier in some cases, than the original lyrics themselves. Like, "Excuse me while I kiss this guy," instead of "Excuse me while I kiss the sky," from Jimi Hendrix's Purple Haze. Need a good Mondegreen? Check kissthisguy.com, a site dedicated to them. In Germany, a book of Mondegreens hit the bestseller list. And in some countries, like Russia, Mondegreens have become a genre unto themselves.
How interested are you really in learning the real lyrics? Do you even want to bother? Do you just want to make up something that sounds funny to you?
Anya Krushelnitska grew up in Soviet Russia, and from talking to her, I begin to feel that a closed society provides the perfect natural experiment for studying the spread and mutation of the Mondegreen.
We did have tiny, tiny holes in the Iron Curtain through which the lyrics would come in. For instance, somebody brought, let's say, to Moscow, an original vinyl with the liner notes and sold it on the black market. Then somebody copied the liner notes and started to disseminate the liner notes.
It was like an epic game of telephone with people all over the country copying the rare set of original lyrics by hand in an unfamiliar language. Add to that the fact that Western pop circulated on homemade cassette tapes that were dubbed and redubbed, and it's easy to see how Mondegreens became the norm, not the exception. But what may have begun as an honest effort to figure out the words to popular Western songs soon morphed into a vibrant subgenre of sound-alikes. For instance, the Beatles song Yellow Submarine became
Yellow Margarine. She was eating margarine.
These intentional Mondegreens were funny, but they also served as Trojan horses for political commentary, like the Beatles song Yesterday.
Yesterday, all my rubles seem so far away.
It's part English, part Russian, but the English part people could understand. All my rubles. My rubles are very far away. I have no money, so give me some food.
But there are those who believe that Lady Mondegreen has finally been slain. The culprit? Those insidious internet lyric sites with their cold and efficient databases. The New York Times Magazine bemoaned the scourge, as has The Guardian more recently. Well, we at The World beg to differ. Lyric sites aren't slaying Mondegreens, they're spreading them.
We crowdsourced all our lyrics. Anyone could add lyrics, anyone could edit lyrics.
That's Sean Sitaro, former editor-in-chief of one of the biggest lyric sites on the web, Genius.
They would, you know, type and transcribe. And it got to the point where when new popular songs come out, they will be on the site 6, 7, 8 minutes after they're released. You know, sometimes you wonder how people manage to type that fast. It's really incredible.
These first fast stabs eventually get refined on Genius, but not every lyric site strives for accuracy. One thing other lyric sites do is solicit lyrics anonymously via email with no vetting whatsoever.
Another thing that other lyric sites do is just crawl and steal from other lyric sites, so it becomes this giant circle.
How does Genius know other sites steal from them? They did an experiment and subtly futzed with the lyrics to some new songs, just to see whether other sites were grabbing them. Sure enough, within hours, several sites had posted their lyrics, mistakes and all. And so it's often the initial uncrowdsourced version, the one fans pound out quickly, that gets picked up and spread around.
Even when lyric sites go straight to the source, there's room for error. This summer, Genius got the lyrics for No Mediocre, a song by hip-hop artist T.I. that features Iggy Azalea, directly from her label, only to learn from Azalea via Twitter that they were full of mistakes. Sometimes even when the artists themselves provided the lyrics, Mondegreens proved harder to kill than highway weeds.
Danny Brown, who is a rapper from Detroit who has kind of a wild voice and or voices and persona, he came in and his lyrics, because it can sometimes be hard to understand, had tons of, you know, misinterpretations, Mondegreens, all over the map. And he went in and painstakingly changed them all to the correct things. And a few days later, his fans had put them back to what the original mishearings were. It was actually as a result of that that we built in a function to lock the pages so that once the artist says, hey, this is the right way, no one can change it.
But no matter how many locks artists pile on their lyrics, I doubt the Mondegreen will ever die. Because we don't really want it to. And hey, just because something's on the internet doesn't make it true. Really. Some artists may scoff, some may shrug, and others might simply decide to embrace Lady Mondegreen. There are many who claim that once Jimi Hendrix learned, people thought he was saying, "Excuse me while I kiss this guy." That's how he started singing Purple Haze. Like in this live version, recorded at the 1967 Monterey Pop Festival. And according to linguists, that's actually closer to what we're expecting him to say. So go on, Jimmy. Kiss him.
Excuse me while I kiss this guy.
For The World, this is Alina Simone.
Wow, wouldn't it be great if every singer did that? If that's what Jimmy did, sing the Mondegreen, sing what people thought you sang or wanted you to sing. Alternate universe, Planet Mondegreen. We can but dream. Anyway, if you want to tell us your favorite Mondegreen, go to pri.org/language and leave a comment, or go to Facebook at the World in Words page. I got to tell you about another podcast now, One with Farai, it's called. It's another of the Soundworks podcasts. And in the latest episode, Farai Chidea, the host, she talks with Lalita Tadami, who's a writer of historical fiction. Most of her stuff is set in the America of the 1800s and early 1900s. And in her new book, the Muskogee language comes into it. This is a language that today has about 5,000 speakers, mainly in Oklahoma, although back in the 1800s, Muskogee speakers, they lived further to the east. They were pushed west by the U.S. government later on. Here is Lalita Tadami talking about her new book, which is called Citizens Creek.
It's about Muskogee-speaking Black Native Americans who began as slaves and carved out their own unique place within the tribe, and ultimately rose to own their own ranch, to run their own cattle, and formed an oil dynasty.
Now, one of the pivotal characters in Citizens Creek is called Cow Tom. He's based on a real person.
There was a Cow Tom who lived in Oklahoma, and he was the slave of an Indian master. And he was bought into slavery when he was 10 by this Indian chief, and he tended cows. But he had a unique gift, as he was a translator, and he was one of the few people within the tribe who could speak both English and the Muskogee dialects. So he served as a translator between the U.S. government and the tribe for their business. He also served for the U.S. government and assisted generals. So Cow Tom was not your typical story of a slave and a master, but he was fascinating and smart and determined to buy himself free and to buy his family free and then to rise in the tribe and to make sure that all the freedmen of the tribe had equal rights within the tribe, and made an incredible difference in tribal politics and U.S. politics.
Cow Tom. You can hear more about him and from writer Lalita Tadami in the latest One from Farai podcast. Go to soundworks.org. That's it from me till next week. I'm always on Twitter, though. My handle is Patricox, P-A-T-R-I-C-O-X. More soon.
The World in Words is made possible in part by a major grant from the National Endowment for the Humanities, Exploring the Human Endeavor. The World in Words is also supported in part by PRI's New Voices Fund, bringing new perspectives and personalities to public media. Donors to the fund include Maureen and Michael Rutgers and the Sarah and Evan Williams Foundation.
Soundworks.
Soundworks.
From PRI.